You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, where we bring you the best of Israeli sports all the way up to Nahariya, down south a lot, and all the greatest Israeli cities in between, from Jerusalem, Haifa, Holon. Today, we are focusing on Tel Aviv. That is the center of the universe here in Israel. And why is that? It is because the State Cup Derby between Maccabi Tel Aviv, Hapoel Tel Aviv, Israel State Cup, football version on the line last night, goes to Maccabi Tel Aviv, 2-1 winners in extra time. Wow, oh wow, 96-minute goal by Luis Hernandez wins the title. But of course, with all Israeli action, it's never just what happens on the field of play. It's all around the field of play. And I have tons to tell you about because the Sports Rabbi was at the game last night in the press conference all over the place at Bloomfield Stadium. There is tons to talk about, from the good to the bad and the very, very ugly, that is for sure. And of course, if you like this podcast, make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating. Check us out at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com, in English and in Hebrew. We cover it all. Boy, oh boy, and to help me break down all the latest in Israeli soccer news, it is none other than Roei Shalom. Roei Shalom, how are you today?
I'm great. You know, what so many events happened last night. It's crazy.
It's crazy. It was a crazy game. It was a nutty game. And you know what? When we spoke a couple days ago, right, we said, you know, what did we say? We said that, we'll probably talk after the weekend, after the national team plays Saturday night. You know, only if something crazy happens, we'll wrap up the State Cup. But of course, everything crazy happens because this is Israeli soccer. How could it not be crazy, Roei Shalom?
It's the drama. It's the Netflix movie that we've been talking about for all season long. It was just the cherry on the top last night.
Oh, baby.
To an incredible, eventful, ugly year. I don't even know how to call it because everything yesterday was just so... It was perfect to ugly, to exciting, to heartbreaking.
So it had everything. It literally had everything. And of course, there was the extracurricular activities on the sidelines and in the news that has to happen, of course, while this is going on. And we'll get to that, of course, during the course of this conversation. Roei Shalom, let me set the stage for our listeners right now. Is that okay?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So let's just talk about what happened. Maccabi Tel Aviv, Hapoel Tel Aviv, the first time Maccabi Tel Aviv is in the State Cup final since 2015, when they won the treble. The first time an Israeli team took home the treble was back in 2015. Maccabi Tel Aviv did that. They had lost two previous State Cups to Bnei Yehuda in penalties and to Maccabi Haifa, both at Teddy Stadium, this time at Bloomfield Stadium. Hapoel Tel Aviv had not been in the, had not won a State Cup final for a number of seasons as well. Interestingly enough, the first time this was a derby State Cup final since 1994. It's a long time. It's over 25 years. So that's a long time. You'd think that these two teams would have met at some point in the State Cup final. It did not happen. Lots of up and downs over the course of that time for both teams, where Hapoel was very good, then Maccabi was very good, back and forth. They face off. And it looked like Maccabi Tel Aviv was flying on all cylinders to start off the game. But they couldn't create anything because Nir Klinger, one of the great managers of our generation here in Israel, and we'll get to him in more detail a little bit later on in the show, really was able to counter properly. He knew how to set up his defense. And what happens? They score a nice goal off really a broken play. They come into the zone. Just a great goal. What could you say? It was just a fabulous goal by Hapoel Tel Aviv to give them a 1-0 lead by Omri Altman. Omri Altman, of course, a former Maccabi Tel Aviv player, And he did what he had to do to put that ball in the goal, and it put all kinds of pressure on Maccabi Tel Aviv when that happened. When that 31st-minute goal went in, it was clear that Maccabi Tel Aviv now had to really wake up and attack at the goal. Shlomi Azoulay headed the ball down. He played really well all game long. Maccabi Tel Aviv, yeah, have a couple of chances. Azoulay almost doubles the advantage. Tenenbaum cut off the angle, and Dor Peretz's header off Tal Ben-Haim free kick, I believe, went out right as the half ended. Paul Tel Aviv goes into the break 1-0. Second half, of course, Maccabi Tel Aviv, and I don't understand why Patrick Van Leeuwen didn't start a number of players. Like Yonatan Cohen came off the bench in like the 60-something minute. It was just interesting. He made a lot of kind of late. The Dan Beaton played really well over the last week or so. He came in off the bench. His substitutions were interesting. Matona Jose's came in for an ineffective Tal Ben-Haim at halftime. But what happens is that, you know, I don't even know how to say it, but Dan Glazer, who had been, you know, been quiet all game long, he's had a quiet year, he's had a rough year, puts in a brilliant loft ball. He just lofts it over everybody, goes into the box, and Groy Shalom, you saw this goal. Yonatan Cohen with his back to the goal is able to head it over Ernestas Shetkus and into the goal. Yonatan Cohen goes wild. His father actually scored a goal in a derby. Could you imagine that? Over 30 years ago in a derby final state cup game. Yonatan Cohen, great, goes wild. And then Maccabi is just applying all kinds of pressure because they want to finish off the game. Both teams make some changes, but it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen in time for Hapoel Tel Aviv. And we go into added time, Roy Shalom. Up until that point, you could see Nir Klinger was – I mean, I had a great view of Nir Klinger. He was all over the place. He was running and racing and hands up and directing traffic and yelling and screaming all over the place. Have I set the stage properly before we get into the extra time right now? Did I miss anything, Roy Shalom?
Nope. He was one of the players. We should say Nir Klinger was one of the players.
He was the 12th. He was the 12th man. No question about that. He was literally like kind of on the pitch all game long. I mean, like, I don't know how many times he entered the pitch, how many times he was told by the fourth official to get his tail back into his coaching box. Like, literally, I think he wanted to go out there and put on back on his uniform and put on some cleats and you know, try to score against his former team and a team that he coached all the way to the Champions League for the first time Maccabi Tel Aviv went to the Champions League back in 2004. Okay, what happens next is the Maccabi applies all kinds of pressure, and listen, got to give Luis Hernandez credit, in the right place at the right time, and he just powers in the ball off a – Beaton had a great free kick from the left to the right into the box, the ball taps. He heads it over to Luis Hernandez, who just powers it by a totally helpless Shetkus that gives Maccabi Tel Aviv a 2-1 lead, and you can see Hapoel Tel Aviv is upset, but then they start to press. And I got to tell you, I looked over to some of the other journalists, and I said, Maccabi's going to now win this 3-4-1. You can see they're pressing. Maccabi's like, you know, they're going to just find a way to score. But, of course, that doesn't happen, right? What happens is, in like the 100th millionth minute, about 114th minute, what happens is that I don't even know how to describe it. You want to take over from this point? You want to take over from this point? It looked like Shai Eisen scored the equalizer. I mean, literally, he pumped the ball into the goal. It was absolutely amazing. He looked at the place went wild, at least on the red side, and there was utter shock by Maccabi Tel Aviv. The whole team, literally everybody on Hapoel Tel Aviv with like 5 minutes left in time, run onto the field. They're jumping and celebrating. I didn't know if the game was over. Like, I thought maybe thought it was going directly to penalties or something.
It was now, all of the doctors, everyone you can think of from the Hapoel Tel Aviv bench was on the pitch.
Like, everyone. They were celebrating. It was like, I was already surprised that Fuad didn't come in from the stands to celebrate, okay? Like, literally, where were the fans on the field at this point? But in midfield, Dor Peretz was lying there flailing away in pain. And we had seen this already for the minute leading up to this goal. Now, he was fouled, or apparently looked to be fouled. The referee went to check the virtual assistant referee, the VAR, and it ruled that a foul was certainly committed on Dor Peretz. The goal was called off, and then all hell broke loose. Nir Klinger absolutely lost it. Salim Tuama, one of Maccabi Tel Aviv's favorite people, assistant coach of Hapoel Tel Aviv, went wild. They're running around the field. They were chest bumping the referees. They were this, they were that. They were shrieking and screaming. They were trying to be pulled away by some of the players. I mean, Dan Einbetter was trying to play peacemaker. Maccabi Tel Aviv, meanwhile, was like all the way to the other side of the pitch. And he was just like not interested in doing anything at this point. Like, whoa, like we gotta make sure that we are way out and not involved whatsoever in a problem.
Even Barak Yitzchaki tried to help out Salim Tuama. I don't know how Yitzchaki was even there, but even Barak Yitzchaki tried to calm him down and it just didn't work.
Yeah, no, it was just wild. It was absolutely crazy. And Nir Klinger then gets a red card, rightfully so. Shai Eisen, I believe, got a red card. I don't know how many people got red cards. It seemed like everybody and their mother got a red card, right? I mean, it was literally everyone that you could think of in the family, in the Gansa Mishvocha, got a red card. There was like, I don't know how many people left on the field. And then, of course, Nir Klinger, trying to be escorted off, doesn't get escorted off, and then gives the, we could say, Salim Tuama gave the one-finger salute with both hands. Nir Klinger told the Maccabi Tel Aviv fans exactly what he thought of them after they were screaming. He made some not nice gestures towards them, and then finally he left. Maccabi Tel Aviv wraps up the 24th State Cup, but it was just absolutely wild. I don't even know what to say. Roy Shalom, it was crazy.
Yeah, so we have to talk about the play of the game. It was, I want to say, like 2 minutes. First of all, the Eisen, it started from a Maccabi Tel Aviv attack. Their appearance was with the ball. And just Shai Eisen goes in. You know, at first I thought that was clean. He went high. He went really high with the leg. But he stole the ball. And then a Maccabi Tel Aviv out of, like, as you said, nowhere, came in. And, you know, had this counterattack perfect counterattack, like really. And Shai Eisen was the finishing touch after a rebound there. And, you know, this kid that he's been one of the kids of Klingo, the guy that pretty much was the top kid of Klingo since Klingo came in, and he's been great. Just he thought he had the moment of his career by far.
Yeah.
It's not even close. And to see that just fall on him, he didn't even understand the red card. He didn't even understand the bar. Now the bigger thing was, until Eris Papier was the referee of the game, and he, for him to get to the VAR, he had to go through a marathon. So, and obstacles and everything, because the Hapoel Tel Aviv players and coaches just didn't let him go there. They were all over him, like pretty much trying to do like a wall of not letting him go to the VAR and trying to change his mind. I don't know even what happened there, why. But the second he went to the VAR, he checked it out and he changed it. And wow, what a moment. Because you just can't call it. And you can't explain what went in the stands, what went on the pitch, what went on the benches. Because the Maccabi Tel Aviv, the whole Maccabi Tel Aviv side was, they were in shock after receiving the goal. And I think they were more in shock after the goal was disqualified, or they were so relieved, I should say it like that. But the Hapoel Tel Aviv side was just, you know, I have a friend that he's an Hapoel Tel Aviv fan. And after the game, I was checking what's up with him. And he said, you know what, we lost. Maybe we shouldn't have lost. Maybe we should have, you know, it doesn't even matter. But the way the players and the coaching staff and everyone fought for that moment. You know, that was the Hapoel Tel Aviv moment that for the fans was perfect. You know, seeing everyone fight, seeing everyone not letting, you know, even the referee go to check it out, doing everything in their power, it was ugly, right? It's not a beautiful scene of what happened there. After that, after the game, the Minister of Sports, Chili Trupa, said that this is not how we want to see our soccer, especially in the finals, especially with...
In front of the President of Israel, the outgoing President of Israel, and the Ambassador from the United Arab Emirates, who was sitting, actually, they were sitting right, like, literally, like, five rows in front of me. So that was interesting. It was a bad look all around.
Yeah,
near Klinger. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, and I'm sure he knows it. You know, he just went off. He couldn't handle his emotions at all. Zero. Because you know, for him, that was his biggest moment under being a Hapoel Tel Aviv coach. He had a, you know, we talked all season about what Klinger did of being the worst team in the league by far. And the Nisanov brothers still gave him a chance and brought him some help in January, turning it all around and getting to the State Cup finals was just an incredible season by Klinger. But this moment will be on his back for the rest of his career.
You'd think, but you know what? People have short memories. This is Israeli soccer. People have short memories. Listen, the team was not happy, obviously. That is what I heard. You know, the heads of Hapoel Tel Aviv, it's not a good look. I got to tell you, somebody must have made sure that the team stayed there for the lifting of the cup afterwards. I didn't even know if they were going to stay to receive their medals, okay? Because they were just like, it was awful. Somebody must have told them from the Israel Football Association that you guys got to stay to get your medals and you've got to stay for the lifting of the cup. There wasn't a lot. There was maybe 15 people left, maybe at the maximum. There was not a lot of people that were left there for Hapoel Tel Aviv at that point.
And Neil Klinger was not there.
Well, because he was ejected. He was shown a red card. So after the game, right, the press conference, and I got to tell you, I went down to the press conference. First time I was in the press conference this season, I had not gone, but most of them were held on Zoom for the majority of the year. So I, you know, I went down to the press conference, and of course, the press officer of Hapoel Tel Aviv, the good person, Erez Nehman, I think somebody used to work with, I believe, at one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm correct. Yeah. Great guy. He is the press officer. Right, yeah. And somebody said, well, where's Klinger? Says, oh, he was a jack. You know, he got a red card. So he's not coming. You know, like, was it the right move for him not to come? Was it the wrong move? He probably should have come and faced the music, but obviously he didn't really want to at that point. I can understand it. I mean, I assume he's going to take a very good, hard look at the video of his actions that just didn't look good at all. It was just not good. I mean, Maccabi Tel Aviv took the high road, and so did the players. So did the Hapoel Tel Aviv players afterwards. They were asked, like Dan Einbender was asked, he said, press conference, and he said, listen, you know, you can't judge a person when he's in a moment of anger. I thought Dan Einbender, who went to, of course, the Hard Knock School of Maccabi Tel Aviv, knowing how to answer the questions correctly, I thought was actually spoke brilliantly after the game. He really, Dan Einbender's a good, he just spoke really, really well. Spoke really, really, really well about how and what and, you know, feelings. And I'll share that with you, Roy, in the press conference. And just to be there for those moments was really tremendous. And what do I mean by that is this. Dan Einbender said that Shai Eisen was just broken. He was crying in the locker room afterwards. He was just absolutely devastated, rightfully so. There was a lot of people just upset. And he said, you know, Hapoel Tel Aviv played proud soccer. They did. They were the better team. And I said, I was sitting next to Shai Artsy from Israel Hayom newspaper. And he says, like, it's amazing how, you know, how just Maccabi just, you know, it's not there. I said, it's not that. It's just Hapoel Tel Aviv just want it more. I said, he said, that's right. He says, you're right. He says, that's what it is. Apollo Tel Aviv just want this cup more. They have tons of young players. They, you know, this is, you know, kind of the first time that these guys are in this situation, obviously at the senior level against a very, very good Maccabi Tel Aviv side that went to the round of 32 in the Europa League. And this year, of course, they'll be in the Conference League coming up. But it was crazy. I mean, it was just absolutely wild. And to hear Dan Einbender speak was just really great. I mean, just really, really, really great. Menschlichkeit. He showed a lot of Menschlichkeit. And it was just great. And I'm going to save one part of what he said for when we get into Beitar Jerusalem in a minute. But he talked about how he came into Hapoel Tel Aviv and he hadn't practiced. He was put off to the side for 2 months. He wasn't allowed to practice. And Beitar had frozen him out. And he actually took a shot at the league. He said, you know, the league went around ripping apart like players like Omar Atsili and Dolev Khaziza for their stupidity after the state cup, after the league championship, when they said all kinds of bad things, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, he said that the league should also look at players like myself that were forced to literally not have a team for 2 months. And I was put in a situation where I was just frozen. There was nowhere for me to go. And I found a warm place in Hapoel Tel Aviv. He was just really great. He really, really spoke well. Omri Altman was also asked after the game and, about what happened with Klinger. And he said, like, again, you just can't judge this guy. Erez Nehmann did a great job making sure these guys were prepped. They were professionals. They knew exactly what they had to say. But it wasn't this, that. Einbender, I thought, spoke really from the heart, spoke really well. And, you know, saying that Hapoel Tel Aviv is a big franchise and we showed how big it is today and the players have a lot to be proud of. And that's right. They do have a lot to be proud of, Roy Shalom.
Yeah. And we talked before the game of how big this game is for Hapoel Tel Aviv and the way they've been through the past, I want to say like 9 to 10 years. They had some really bad moments, tough moments. They've been through a lot. And last night was a big, big night for everyone around this team. And as I said earlier, the way they showed how well they showed last night, they could have, if Maccabi would have won, 3-0, 4-0, no one would be really surprised, but the way they showed last night just means a lot for this team.
Yeah, I'll say this also. It's still questionable if it really was a foul. I got to tell you, I don't know. I sat there in live action. I know Dor Perets looked like he was shot. That's usually the case when players, get fouled. Was there contact? It's very hard to see from the TV angles. I saw the replay from right in front of me. Literally, I was sitting right in front. It was fun. I was sitting right in front of, right in back of Shlomo Scharf and Yonatan Cohen from Sport 5. So I had all the replay screens right in front of me. It was never clear if it was a foul or not, in my opinion. And I think you're going to hear that from about 50% of the people. And listen, that's coming from somebody I worked at Maccabi Tel Aviv, okay? So I'm not putting on yellow and blue glasses. I'm not putting on red glasses. To me and Shai Artsy, we both thought it was not a foul. Other people did think it was a foul. It was just very hard to tell. It was very, very hard to tell. To call off a goal for that is just very, very tough. Very, very tough. The referee, I can tell you this, the writers in the press conference were ripping apart Aris Papir. They were ripping apart the IFA. We're putting in a referee like Aris Papir and not, say, Oral Greenfeld, one of the top referees for this game. Interestingly enough, in the basketball state cup final, they also did not have a first level staff. Like, you didn't see, I mean, not that I like Omer Estaron, but like, he wasn't there. Balak wasn't there. Sefi Shemesh, who's a EuroLeague referee, wasn't there. So, Aris Papir was definitely a peculiar choice. Why Oral Greenfeld wasn't the referee for this game, not exactly sure why. But he got a lot of flack by the, obviously by Hapoel Tel Aviv as well.
Yeah, as I said earlier, I wasn't sure that it was not only a red card, but if it was a foul. So it's just changing the game on that. So again, we're talking about VAR, and you know, is that a play that you change a whole game because of? Because this is it's not only a game changer, especially in that moment. This is pretty much a franchise changer for Apollo Tel Aviv if they score, you know, and if in the end they finish with that cup, you know, would anyone say about the VAR, you know, the VAR should have come in on that play? Probably not. Maccabi Tel Aviv probably would have, you know, talked about it, that maybe the ref should have went to the VAR. But, you know, I'm not sure that this is the reason, 100% reason, the VAR is in. You know, in baseball, we know there's the whole instant replay. And there's no instant replay. You can say that, you know, the ball was hit fair or foul or a strike. And there's no such thing as an instant replay on a called strike, because that's the umpire's decision, and that's it. And I think the same should be with soccer. You know, if we get to call every foul in the middle of the field, and, you know, Ernest Papil was on right there. He was looking at it a couple of meters away. He was really close to the whole situation. And again, call it a foul. So changing this and changing the whole situation and everything that happened after, as a result for that VAR situation, you know, I'm doubting it that this is the real reason we want it. We do want it for the goals. You know, if it's the penalties, okay, I can understand that. We do want it for, you know, if there was. What's it called now? It just popped out of my head, but if there was or not, but for a midfield tackle, that, you know, is that the real reason? Was that a real red card? Was that a reason to stop the game and change this whole thing up? I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, it was.
I don't like it. There's something about it that I just don't like, and they need to get it together. It's just, you know, FIFA should get it together, of changing that rule to very, very specific things and not on everything. Because, you know, next time it's going to be, it was as 50-50 as it is, and they decided to change it. And in baseball, if it's 50-50, you don't change it unless it's 100%. 100% you change it. If it's not 100%, you don't change it.
Yeah.
And for me, that was not 100%.
Well, listen, apparently Ernest Papier thought it was 100%. Of course, we're on here with Roy Shalem, Sports Rabbi Show, wrapping up the Israel State Cup. Let's move over to the Maccabi Tel Aviv side a little bit. I think we've focused enough on Hapoel Tel Aviv and that side. Patrick Van Leeuwen, that was my first live press conference with him, you know, since he was coach, literally in person, just because there hadn't been a lot. And you know, for whatever reason, I wasn't there. But it's interesting. He doesn't give you very much. I asked a question about, you know, how he feels to see so much of the youth that he nurtured over the last 4 or 5 years being able to win a state cup. And, he, you know, he gave a very parva answer. He gave an answer, yeah, it's great, but they have to stay here, blah, 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 blah. They have to still work hard, on and on and on. He did not give any type of meat that I was looking at. That was pretty much for all the questions. The reporters were hammering him time and time again about is he going to be staying on as coach, right? I mean, like, they asked it every which way, 100 different ways. And he said, well, I still have a contract to the end of June, so, like, you know, I'm not going anywhere now anyways. You know, he's going to probably stay. I will say this. He had one really interesting comment, Roy Shalem, one really, really interesting comment in the press conference. And he said, I have ambitions. Now, that was very interesting to hear that, which would lead me to believe two things. One, he could be leaving to go somewhere else. because he's ambitious and wants to continue, or he's in a situation where he wants to be a coach. He knows right now he cannot get a – who's going to hire him? Let's be honest right now, right? Who's going to hire him as a head coach outside of – you know, who's going to hire him? I mean, maybe there's a team in Holland that would hire him as a head coach. A mid-level
maybe Cyprus
team.
Or a Cyprus team or one of those.
Because he's only been a head coach for half a year, okay?
Right.
He obviously has the things, but – to me, you know, if you want to be a head coach and that's your ambition and that's your desire, you got to stay with Maccabi Tel Aviv. And he said that also, that, you know, you'd have to be a fool not to want to work at a place like Maccabi Tel Aviv. So there it is. I mean, I cannot see him going, but it's clear that he probably would like to use this as a stepping stone. You look at the coaches that have been here at Maccabi: Oscar Garcia, Paulo Sousa, Slavisa Jokanovic, Peter Boss, I know Jordy Cruyff. I'm missing people, you know, obviously it didn't really happen with Lito.
Vladimir Ivic,
right. Yeah. You know, they all took a big step up. These are the coaches over the last decade. So, you know, if I'm Patrick Van Leeuwen and I have ambitions, I know I'm at an age right now that if I really want to get a good job, like, this is it. I got to really hone my skills working for Maccabi Tel Aviv. I'm going to be playing in Europe. I was not the coach that took Maccabi Tel Aviv to the round of 32. People have to understand that. That was Yorgos Donis. And I have something to prove still. And that's true. I mean, he didn't say all those. I'm like speaking in his, you know, I'm playing it out here. But it's clear that this is the, you know, this is what he's looking at. And rightfully so. And then Sharon Yeni also spoke. I don't know how many press conferences I've been with Sharon Yeni in my lifetime. It's like too many to count at this point. You know, he was excited, but he also had a great line. He said that these are the types of games as a player you want to be part of. This is what keeps you going. And it's the big games. It's the games when there's everything on the line. You know, it may not be that game against Maccabi Netanya in the middle of February in the driving rain that you want to be a part of. Now, as Sharon Yeni got a contract extension for a year, and he will obviously be back with Maccabi Tel Aviv, but his career is nearing its end, we could say. So he definitely appreciated being in this game as well for a, you know, to be able to hoist the cup up again. I think that was a big thing. You know, Rami Shalom, quick comments on that.
Patrick is going to say, it seems like he got his opportunity. He won the cup. He doesn't have that pressure, you know, of not winning the cup. So he has that. It seems like Maccabi Tel Aviv is going to go through change. We heard some different comments from different players, like, for example, Jonathan Cohen, that said that he does have a contract, but he feels like his time to go to Europe is now.
Yeah, Jonathan Cohen, look, I'll tell you, it looked very clear that he's gone. It looked very clear that he's gone. I would think that the Dor Perets is going to leave, though he said yesterday it's very, you know, before you make a decision to leave, especially your home, you know, you have to really take a good hard look at that. Which I thought was good. I would think there's going to be some kind of deal, meaning he's going to sign a contract with Maccabi Tel Aviv, and then they're going to sell him. That's what I think will happen. I don't see Dor Perets. I think he's going to, you know, do something in Maccabi Tel Aviv's favor. That was kind of, you know, reading and hearing those comments. That's what you feel from Roy.
Yeah. So also that it seems like the generation of Itai Schechter, Aviri Khan.
That's over.
It's over. So there's going to be a lot of change, if you ask me, in Maccabi Tel Aviv. And, you know, Patrick is going to be the guy because he was pretty much coaching these kids to get to that point. So it seems like a perfect fit. He knows each one. He knows what they have, their qualities and their weaknesses. And it's going to be really, really interesting. And we don't even know what's going to happen with their foreigners right now, because there are a lot of rumors of Hernandez that has another season that was pretty much automatic, another year in his contract. He wants to leave back to Spain. We've heard Sabarit also want to leave, and he doesn't know exactly what's up with him. And Maccabi want him back for another season. He's just a great, great bargain. So a lot of changes are going to happen, and you don't want another one also on the lines. For me, it's just waiting for the official signing of Patrick Van Leeuwen for another, I want to say like two years.
Yeah. I would think so. I mean, this is the time for him. He's got to prove himself as a coach now, because he didn't win the title. He only took 17 out of 30 points in the playoffs. He knows that. The cup yesterday is just, you know, it's a hit or miss. They could have easily lost the game. If it goes into penalties, everybody's going to look at this as a massive failure of a season. That was the general gist from a number of the people I spoke to, that if he didn't win this cup, this season would be looked at as a failure. Not as a mega, mega, huge, gigantic failure, but a failure nonetheless, because he didn't win the title, he didn't win the cup, and he wasn't the one that took the team to the round of 32 that brought in also all the funding. Let's shift gears for a minute, and so we only have a couple minutes left here at the Roey Show, of course, Sports Rabbi Show. Beitar Jerusalem. Beitar Jerusalem, in the middle of the first half last night, what do they do? They decide, after rumors had been abound that they're going to sign Kobi Rafua, that was the leading candidate, Chaim Silvas was in the mix, other couple of Israeli coaches, Beitar puts out a big press release in the middle of the State Cup final to try to pull attention away, and they did, because this was on the top of every website while the State Cup final was going on, that they have hired Erwin Coman as their new head coach. Now, who is Erwin Coman? As Patrick Van Leeuwen said, Erwin Coman, all I know of him is he's the brother of who, Roey Shalom? Ronald Coman. Ronald Coman, of course, the coach of Barcelona, one of the all-time great players. Erwin Coman comes, the 59-year-old comes with very little, not great coaching experience, let's be honest here. He was coaching in Oman. He was a Fenerbahce caretaker. The last time he really coached was Walwick in 2012-2014. He like had short stints in Hungary, Utrecht, Eindhoven, Feyenoord. I mean, you know, he played for most of his career with Mechelen, and of course, Eli Ohana, the new sport director, president, whatever you want to call him, with Beitar Jerusalem, played with him, and that is who he tapped as the coach. He also played many games for PSV and Groningen, a very good player in his time, but he hasn't really coached full-time in like 6-7 years, and he's 59 years old. What is Beitar thinking here? Like, honestly, what are they thinking? Are they just trying to get the game? Are they just trying to, like, put themselves out there? Like, what are they thinking, Roey Shalom? What's going on?
Would you be surprised if it was only for the name?
No, absolutely not. No. Not with Moshe Chogeg as the owner. No, at this point, nope. No. Anything can happen.
So, I don't know. I don't want to judge the person before he even coached a game here or even ran his first practice. But, you know, you would have expected more of someone with a higher caliber.
The man knows nothing about the Israeli league. He hasn't coached consistently since 2014, where, listen to his record, okay? In 75 games, 18 wins, 23 draws, 34 losses, okay? Before that, the last time he coached, really coached, was 81 games with Feyenoord between 2005-2007. What are they thinking? What is going on with Beitar Jerusalem? Like, why would you not bring in Kobi Rafua, honestly? Guy that understands the culture of this country, why are you bringing in Erwin Coman?
I understand the decision of bringing someone from outside. I understand, you know, they want to bring this culture change and Beitar Jerusalem bring something European to the mix. And you know, we saw Maccabi Tel Aviv do it with Jordi when he came in. Now he came in from the Dutch football tree. And I guess they hope it's going to happen the same here. But we should say, Maccabi Haifa tried to do that a couple of years ago also with the Dutch tree, and it was a disaster.
And those guys had experience, okay?
Right.
Those guys are coming, like Mo Alah was coming from as a sporting director at Vitesse. Like, he came in with a resume.
With a track
record. Erwin Koeman has no CV. The guy has no resume here. I mean, I just don't understand it. Before we wrap up, we only have about a minute left here. Saturday night, Roy Shalom, Israel national team is going to be playing. Should be interesting. They have Montenegro. We'll be back, of course, probably on Sunday, I would guess. Sunday or Monday, Roy Shalom will be, you know, wrapping up. I'm sure there'll be other big news happening over the next couple of days. And, of course, we'll wrap up the national team game, and we'll look ahead to the game against Portugal. Where can we find you, Roy Shalom?
So you can find me at rshalom on Twitter. I'll be there. One note, Dolev Khaziza is suspended from
he's off the national team.
So we were really expecting to see him. We won't. So let's talk about the top 11 for Israel national team. Just, you know, send me a message over there and we'll talk it through.
Sounds great. Me, the Sports Rabbi, at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news in Israeli soccer. Make sure you leave us a 5-star rating and subscribe to us, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Roy Shalom, an honor and a pleasure to have on board. And just remind me, when we speak in a few days, I have another Mona's divorce story for you, all right?
Sounds good.
All right, sounds good. We'll speak to you soon. Take care.